Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
That would be Baskin. I'd be Phelps. Coming up on Sunday, Browns against the Dallas Cowboys to start the season. We're all sad that Jim Donovan is not able to continue in his job. We're all happy that the gentleman who joins us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline will be taking over. Mr. Andrew Siciliano, who's been a friend of the show since day 7 here on our show. Andrew, good to have you with us.
Hey, hey. Congratulations.
Guys, it is good. Thank you. It is going to be with you. And yeah, let me echo what you just said there, Phelps. Not the circumstances, certainly, that you expect that call to happen. And the man's an icon, and he carries himself with such amazing class, and he brings such joy to every game and joy to all the fans, including me. And like I told him, I used to sync up the radio to the TV as much as I could, living as far away as I do. And when I was working, there were a lot of Sundays when I was working, like I would sit in my car and listen to Sirius until they would play his highlights with Doug. I mean, and the way Jim has always carried himself with such class, and they are big shoes to fill. It is a humbling honor. And it is good to be here talking to you guys, as we have for so many years.
And we will continue to. Is it true that it was make or break? You had to eat a sandwich with mayonnaise on it to get this gig?
Because you know why? You know why, Andrew?
What's that?
Because this is why.
Mayonnaise is a pox on the earth.
It is. Is mayonnaise the sponsor of the Cleveland Browns radio network, by the way?
Should I know that now?
Oh, yeah. Someone's going to want to go aboard
on that one. No, I would not have eaten a mayonnaise sandwich.
Wow. All right, I just wanted to make sure. We got you on the record.
I might have.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
So you're taking.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to be calling games for a team that we just had our buddy Nick Costos on the show at 11 o'clock who said, yeah, and he was just kind of like, okay, we're all excited. He wasn't excited. And it's interesting to me because there's so many question marks about a team that we all think is really pretty good, Andrew.
And I think they're pretty good,
yeah.
And I'm excited.
I'm curious to see where this goes. We all know Deshaun Watson. That's the big deal for this team this year. We just talked to our Browns beat reporter, Daryl Ryder, a bit ago. Left tackle is going to be an interesting situation. And then I think ultimately tackle will be an interesting situation. What's your gut tell you about all that?
My gut tells me, hold on a second, guys. I'm at an airport and I'm trying to switch over to the AirPods and it's not working.
It's okay. Oh, now it is. Just switched over.
Tackle is definitely something to be left tackle, definitely something to be concerned with, and especially against Micah Parsons. Now, back out bigger picture for a second and take the Cowboys game out of this equation. I am not a us-against-the-world person, although I realize Cleveland against the world is very much a thing at all for it. Let's go. It does blow me away. It is jarring when I turn on my good friends at NFL Network, when I open up The Athletic, when I turn on, although currently with the ESPN DirecTV fight, I don't have ESPN, but when I, see it elsewhere, it is stunning how, not that people aren't picking this team to do much, let's say, make it to New Orleans, but they're not even picking them to make the playoffs. And that, to me, is stunning. I think this team last year reveled
in being told, oh, no, the season's over because this guy's out. And then next week, now this guy's out. And then next week, now three more guys are out. And they embraced it. It was almost like, all right, well, it just makes it that much more interesting when we do go out and win, because I know we are going to go out and win. And I think that's the way you start this season. Left tackle? Oh, no, you can't beat the Cowboys without a left tackle. Who knows who the left tackle is going to be? I'm just projecting here when you're facing Micah Parsons and no one's going to pick you for the playoffs because you have on paper the most difficult schedule in the NFL. But you know what? Bring it on. Let's go. And one more thing about the schedule, the entire AFC North plays the schedule. Obviously, the Bengals finish last, so theirs is a bit easier. But the strength of schedule is based on last year's numbers, right? The second the ball kicks off tonight, those numbers are worthless. Yes, you have a general idea of what those teams did last year, but that was last year. It doesn't mean anything. So forget about strength of schedule. It's a week at a time, and I know that sounds cliche, but I'm ready.
All right, speaking of schedules, because I just want to pull back the curtain here a little bit, and I'm looking at your schedule. You've got Peacock on Saturday night, right? You've got Boise State and Oregon, and then you'll be doing Browns Cowboys
right now.
So you're going into Eugene now. Gotcha.
Yeah.
So are you going to keep doing Peacock all season long, or how are you going to be able to do this? I'm just curious.
No, that is a great question. I have a couple of games in September. That's all I'm signed up for right now.
Gotcha.
Pull back the curtain. I don't know what's coming up, but I know I got these two, and we're going to make it work, and the Browns are amazingly gracious, and I'm amazingly grateful to them for rolling with it. You know, I made the commitment to NBC, but obviously the Browns thing is not anything I would want to let go. So we're going to make it work. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, team efforts.
Yes.
And, you know, you could sleep on the plane, as I always like to tell people.
Nothing wrong with that. What's your next college game then?
Coming up in a couple of weeks, it might involve a team that plays in Columbus, but we'll let NBC announce it.
That would work out well, especially if they...
Way to go, Andy. You almost made him spill the beans.
Well, I wasn't going to say, but you might want to marshal your way to that game. I'm just not sure. Okay.
Hey now.
Oh. I see what you did there.
Thank you.
That was pretty slick.
Yeah.
What happens in the second year of a defense under a coordinator after they make big steps in year number one?
You know, that is a great question because statistically, like, for example, this is the very first time we've ever had a week one in which the best passing defense and the best total defense of the NFL faced off against a quarterback, fun fact, that led the league in passing touchdowns a year ago in Dak Prescott with his 36. So they start with a challenge. Obviously, every one of these games is a challenge. How do you get better? Probably a little bit better in the red zone. How do you get better? You know, the Denver game and the Houston game in the playoffs come to mind where, you know, the tackling seemed to disappear and they gave up too many explosives and it was just a bad day. Every defense has bad days. Every offense has bad days. Every team has bad days. I'm sure they will tell you that they need to cut down on those bad days. And look, just get the taste of Houston out of your mouth. People have been waiting. You've been waiting. I've been waiting. Fans have been waiting 8 months now to put that Houston game behind them. One game on Sunday against the Cowboys can't do that and can't totally erase that memory, but it would be a heck of a start.
Andrew, I'm just curious your thoughts on the modified kickoff rule. And, you know, we didn't see anything in the preseason. And do you think now suddenly – we hit the real thing tonight. Are we going to start seeing more, you know, more play in this dynamic kickoff?
It's fascinating because tonight you have two of the best special teams units in all of football. You have Dave Tobe, who's a legend coaching the Chiefs. Honestly, I'm surprised he has not gotten a shot as a head coach. And then you have a head coach for the Ravens who got to his job by being a special teams coach. From talking to coaches around the league during the preseason, honestly, most of them just want to kick it out of the back of the end zone and take it up 30.
It's kind of a bummer,
isn't
it?
They want to do.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer.
I mean, it is and it isn't. I mean, look, there are coaches who are trying to limit the damage, and a lot of them have just said, hey, listen, we'll let someone else figure it out. Like, there are going to be a couple of big returns. We'll see how it works. We'll see how teams play it. In other words, we're going to cautiously dip our toe in the water and then see how it goes. Now, not all those coaches plan to do that for 18 weeks or 17 games in 18 weeks. You know, I think they've all spent the summer, the offseason, in the lab trying to draw stuff up and making sure they practice it when the media isn't present at camp or really diving in these last 10 days when it's back to regular season media reporting rules at practice. There are plenty of teams that are going to come out and run outside zone or just treat it like a normal scrimmage play and try to draw something up like you would see in the run game. And then plenty of teams are going to, you know, bop it out of the back of the end zone. It is a brave new world, and for those who didn't watch the preseason, it looks unlike anything you have truly ever seen on a football field. It is weird.
It is. Andrew Siciliano joining us. Is there any chance that the league steps in during season if everybody's booming it out of the end zone and says, okay, we'll put it on the 35?
I don't think so. I think they missed that chance. They had that chance this past week. I really thought they were going to move it to the 35. Jerry Jones mentioned it. Sean Payton mentioned it. I was on a preseason production call with broadcasters, with the league office, as they were walking us through what we're going to see. And somebody asked that point blank, are you going to move it to the 35? And the answer wasn't a no. And that was about 3 weeks ago. And I'm like, aha, it's going to happen. But they didn't. They had the chance. Let's see how it goes. Look, pass interference replay review was a one-year experiment. It failed miserably. They got rid of it. I don't think this is going to fail miserably, but I am fairly confident that whatever happens this year, it is going to be tweaked next year. I just don't think it's fair to do it in season. Like, I mean, imagine if they had different special teams rules week one than they did week nine. Right. And then week nine, a team's going, well, wait a minute. If this had happened week one, we would have had the ball here instead of there. And then we would have had a better shot at the end zone. You don't want that. You don't want those arguments.
No, not at all. Hey, I just want to go back to the Browns here for a second. Do you think they have enough firepower at wide receiver? Because Jeff and I have been talking about that a little bit here. I mean, I feel good about Amari Cooper, Elijah Moore and Jerry Jeudy. Like, we just there's got to be something more
step
there.
Step up, fellas.
Yeah.
Look, they want to unlock the guy that was a first-round pick in Jerry Jeudy that had flashes of brilliance and route running and amazing feet, who occasionally had trouble holding onto the football. But they want to unlock Alabama Jerry Jeudy, and I think they can. And then you need to hope that Amari Cooper stays healthy and that, you know, as he gets into his 30s here, he still is an elite player. And down the stretch last year, he was absolutely an elite player. Go back to Christmas Eve in Houston. 265 is an elite player. The guy's special. I do think that Cedric Tillman has a chance to truly step up to be that big body X. I'm not saying he's Michael Pittman, but look at the Colts. I mean, that's the kind of guy that I think the Browns think he can be. I know that's a pretty high bar, but it isn't. He's a third-round pick. He could be that guy. I think they do have enough. I do.
Best of luck with your travels.
Yeah, Andrew, it was very nice. By the way, it was nice of the NCAA and the NFL to get together to make sure that you know that there's two minute timeout in college now.
Yeah.
And you've got tablets on the field, and you've got the headphones and the mic in the earpiece and the thing, so you're good there. And then the Browns were nice enough that they knew you'd have to transition from the green of Oregon to now the green of Cleveland with Huntington Bank Field. So it's all worked out for you. This was all meant to be this weekend.
It is meant to be, and I sometimes struggle with words, and maybe I wasn't as eloquent, but you know, it is truly, truly a bittersweet honor here because that booth is always Jim's, and you know, that video gave me chills last week, and you know, obviously our prayers are with them, and we're all with them in this fight here, I don't know, I'm kind of.
No, we get it. Yeah. Everyone feels the same way.
We get it.
Safe travels. We'll talk to you Sunday on the Cleveland Browns Radio Network.
I'll see you Sunday. Have a good game Saturday and Sunday, my friend.
Love you guys. See you.
Thanks, Andrew. Bye. Andrew Siciliano joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram
Love you guys. Goodbye. We've reached it. That's the pinnacle.
Aw.
Congratulations.
You've never said that to me.
I will never say that to you.
Their opponent coming up, the team with the best record in Major League Baseball. Not exactly what you want to see when you're trying to hang on to first place in your division. The Dodgers, 84-56. That series starting tomorrow. And, man, that will be fun. Phelps here, basking right there.
It's interesting you say that. The baseball race is looking to go down to the wire. So follow all of the news on 92.3 The Fan and the Odyssey app presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. use their savings calculator to find out how online at T-Mobile.com/switch.
What do you think of this series? I mean, let's go big picture. You ready? Is it a World Series preview, Andy?
No. I don't think so.
Dan, did you just laugh? Was that a chuckle I heard? Or?
I made no change in facial expression.
Oh, okay.
Mostly because I've learned that in the postseason, it's all on the table.
Ask the Arizona Diamondbacks, right?
Yeah.
Yep. I think this is an interesting time to play these guys. I hate it. I think the Dodgers are really good. They have some terrific talent, and you're playing in L.A., and you know, they're good there, so that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to toughen up even more for what's ahead?
Yeah,
it might be a great way to do it, Andy.
I agree with you on that, but I also, you know, just as we've been skipping around and looking at the entire season as a whole and trying to figure out how things are going to play out, I'm more so looking at six games rather than three. How will they do? Like, you're playing one of the toughest teams and you're playing the worst team in baseball. You've got L.A., and then you got the White Sox right after that. So that's your next six games. So I'm looking at it as a bigger six-game window than I am more than a three-game window. So just win one in L.A., and I think you'll be okay. I think the goal should be win one in L.A., two in Chicago, and you're fine. You just get to stay status quo for the most part. I know we're watching to see what the Twins and the Royals are doing along the way here, but I think you have to look at all six games rather than just the three, because these games are going to be tough in Los Angeles. There's no doubt about it.
It's hard to argue with that. I agree with you on that. If you can go 3-3 in the next six, that's fine. One thing that's been really convenient for the Guardians as of late, the Twins and Royals haven't been playing very good baseball.
Wouldn't it be nice to have the Twins right now rather than, you know, having to wait? Because you've got Dodgers, White Sox, Tampa Bay, and then the Twins at home. That's going to be a great homestand with Tampa Bay and Minnesota coming in here. It's going
to
be fun.
The one thing that's tough, though, to me, I can't, in baseball especially, you can't look at, boy, this is the great time to play them. Unless you're, like, out starting pitching. You know what I mean? To me, anything can happen in a baseball game. So the you could be playing, and they've had trouble with the White Sox this year. You know, they have the White Sox coming up. I'm not confident about that because they've had trouble with the White Sox. They seem to play them well.
I kind of feel better against the White Sox now than I did in the beginning of the season. Yeah, just kind of.
You don't believe in Grady Sizemore as a manager?
Well, I believe in Grady.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I believe in him.
Andy
as a Baskin Sizemore
doesn't
and
like
as
Grady
a
Sizemore. 216-474-0092.
Putting words in my mouth. No, I just feel like
if they're truly
going to be a competitive team that can play in the playoffs, Chicago should not be a problem for the last three games of this trip.
Brian Rocchio has been hitting the ball a little bit better, coming off a big game. Are you sold?
No.
Do you think he's your shortstop of the future on this team?
Not right now, I don't.
You don't? Mm-hmm. Why? Mm-hmm. Why?
I've watched his bat from the beginning of the season. I know, and you're going to say, well, look at Omar. When Omar was in Seattle,
that,
you said that yesterday.
The other day. I said that the other day.
It's still sticking in my craw.
Do you, you're not convinced? I just think he's...
I'm not convinced. Especially because of the depth in the organization at middle infield that
they keep trading some of that away.
It's all right.
I keep turning it into center fielders.
I think that the organization feels like if this doesn't work out, it's okay. We've got plan A, B, C. So I just think he's not he's going to have to perform better at the plate to maintain and keep this position for a long term period.
I have a hard time disagreeing with that, except for one thing. And he's really good with a glove. And he and Jimenez together are a
nice... So is Miles Straw.
Are a nice combination. Well, that's a valid point. I would say that, and though center field is an important spot, I would say shortstop's a more important spot defensively. I do think that Rocchio probably has, until Travis Bezzana being ready for the majors to prove himself.
Excellent point. Excellent point. I totally agree with you. But there might be some bumps along the way where if they need more offense, I think he's okay if the rest of the lineup is hitting.
I would agree with that.
He'll be all right. You can hide a shortstop that, you know, is hitting 225, 235, right? You can kind of hide that guy.
Well, in this day and age, 235 gets you a contract extension.
So, yeah, but I look at him and I'm like, okay, I just can't buy all the way in. It's hard. I don't know. Should it be that way with your shortstop?
You know, he hit well in the minors. I know that's the minors. Usually, if a guy can hit decently in the minors, you got to figure he can hit decently in the majors because, you know, eventually you're playing the same guys, aren't you? If they move up and you improve and you get better, I would think his bat will get better. But I do think that there's a timeline in place. Bazzano's the guy that they're not going to fast track, but I would think he's on a fast track because as a college player with a ton of college experience, I would think he'll be major league ready sooner than a young guy, you know, who you drafted out of the Dominican or out of high school.
Yeah.
And comes in. I would think we could see Bazzano as soon as next year, but more likely 2026, which might give Rocchio next year to prove himself at shortstop. Because once Bazzano is ready to go, then you have a decision to make. Is he going to play second base? Everything we've heard says he plays second base. So then what do you do with Jimenez, who, if he can win a gold glove at second base, could at the very least be really good at his natural position, the position that he's played, at least, I shouldn't say natural, the position he played coming up through the minors for the most part. So yeah, I think Rocchio has a chance, Andy, to win that job.
The opportunity's there for him. Yeah, I don't think there's I think it's there. It's just how long is he going to hang on to it? And, you know, I think when you look at inspiration, if you're a guy like him, look right next to you. Look at Jose Ramirez. No one thought he was going to be who he became.
Jose looked like a utility infielder.
I didn't think he, you know, it was kind of like, oh, well, he's playing here and let's see what Lindor does because Lindor's going to buy. But in the end,
who's that guy in left field? Oh, that's Jose Ramirez.
Right.
Remember?
Yeah.
Played the outfield a little bit and finally figured it all out. Man, he's the poster child for don't lock me into something, you know?
Can I ask a question? I don't know if this is, it's a little bit off, but when are we allowed to look at magic numbers for this team?
Why not now?
Can we? Because it's under 20?
I don't know. I think.
Dan, when's it fair to look 10. At magic number?
I think 10.
It's your life. Live it as you see fit.
Oh, come on. Give me an answer. At what point?
Hasn't he just been the contrarian all day?
Yeah, I mean,
like,
there's times when you'd be like, oh, look, you know, the magic number right now, 19 on the Twins, 18 on the Royals.
The analytical breakdowns tell us that.
Yeah, I mean, you should like this, the magic number stuff.
It's a number, Dan.
I'm not telling you how to live your life. You look at it when you want. If it brings you joy, do it. If it's not hurting anybody, do it.
Somebody hurt your dog or something yesterday? What?
No, that's truly how I feel about it.
But with 23 games left, is it fair to start looking at magic numbers and in the depression that you seem to be in right now?
Sure. You could have started in April. I don't care. It makes you happy. Do it. It's not hurting anybody.
Who is this guy?
I don't know. What's going on with him today?
It's truly how I feel about it. If you wanted to do it in April, I'd be like, I find that silly. But, hey, man, it brings you happiness.
All right. If you're looking
short, smile.
Would you rather look at the WAR, the WHIP, or the magic number?
Look, anything
he's a big WAR guy.
Is going to get me fired. WHIP so is, I'm just going to stop not, talking.
WHIP doesn't mean as much to Dan as WAR.
He's really grumpy.
Wins above replacement.
He's really grumpy today. I'm not feeling it. I think you did this to him. I think you made him grumpy this
Why week. Did I do that?
I don't know. I just feel that way.
I don't think I did.
I don't want to blame myself.
I'm the co-host who brings him joy.
As far as you know.
Print the t-shirt.
Yes. I think if you want to look at magic numbers, you absolutely can.
Well, what
if,
is it?
If you're going to scoreboard
what
watch,
is it?
I just said it. It's
23?
What is it? 19 on the Twins and 18 on the Royals.
Okay. Well, we're closing in on my number of 10.
So hopefully we'll be able to talk about it by the end of the weekend.
Well, that would be nice.
Yeah, just for you.
Wouldn't that be nice?
What is that? No, that's not possible. If in a sweep, right, and they lose all three.
I'll poke fun of you.
What? So, you can only take six off that magic number, right? 13.
I forget what the network that it's carried on is, but on Friday nights, and I say this because Shohei Ohtani is just absolutely on fire.
Apple?
I am mesmerized when Japanese baseball comes on TV. and I've been watching it like crazy on Fridays. At least I think it's only on Fridays. And it looks like the signal gets sent back here, and it's broadcast by somebody in the States.
You know what? I actually think Chris Rose's brother is in charge of that. Yeah,
I think that you've told me that.
Yeah,
I love watching it. And it's fun to watch.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Fun to watch some of the talent there. It's really cool. And I always look, I wonder if the Guardians could get him.
Oh, you're watching Japanese baseball.
Okay. Yeah,
I thought you were like, you were watching Major League Baseball with
Japanese announcers.
Okay.
I'm watching the Japanese baseball. Gotcha. You know the thing that cracks me up about it?
You really watch Japanese baseball?
We got to start.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Japanese baseball is awesome. It's a lot of fun.
I watch it.
More than anything else, we got to steal the singing and the dancing. That's the main thing that's got to happen.
That's too soccer for
me. Is it more like college football, or what is it?
It's like soccer. Every single player, basically, and I know Korea does this, and I think Japan does a little bit too, has basically their own chant, song, and dance that goes along with it with the crowd. Like, these people are on their feet the entire time. It's a good time, man.
The one thing that I find interesting about the whole thing, the number of Japanese players who have come over and been successful, especially at pitchers who may not throw 95 miles an hour, might throw 90, but they know how to pitch, and then they become valuable to major league teams. I think that's really interesting. And I wonder when the hitters start to maybe have more of an impact. Otani is, you know, there was Ichiro, right? There, Otani, and there have been a couple of other guys, but I wonder when the overall level of talent becomes such that we just see a huge influx of Japanese players, because I think it could happen.
I wonder if you're right, but I also partially wonder if this is the whole, the British have fantastic TV shows. We need to see all these British TV shows. Well, yeah, because you're getting the best version of all of them.
Yeah.
And in reality, there's a lot of garbage that's over there too. But
well, that's
goes,
true.
Oh, Doctor Who is fantastic. Oh my gosh, Downton Abbey is tremendous. But
have you watched any of the Viking shows?
Okay.
Are those British?
Something is
Outlander. Oh.
Something is happening in a current professional sports league that makes me laugh, and I love it. And I'll explain next on Baskin and Phelps.
I'm looking forward to that.
That's Andy Baskin.
Yeah.
I'm Jeff Phelps.
Good old days.
Something's happened in a pro sports league that I must say I've loved. I have loved this summer.
Okay, what is it?
And I've not paid the greatest of attention to it, but I think it's been a storyline throughout the year that has made me shake my head from before it ever started all the way to when it wasn't going well to now when it is. And it's the WNBA and the impact of Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. And I say and Angel Reese, because she caught a lot of grief as well. When these two young ladies were playing so well in college and then came to the WNBA, you heard a lot of sniping about both of them.
Just sounded like jealousy of older players that were already in the league.
It sounded like it, didn't it? And
I'm sure that we heard the same thing when LeBron came out.
I don't recall that, and I was here. Do you recall? I don't recall that.
Okay, well, maybe we just didn't hear it. One, because I don't think social media is what social media is now. We didn't have as many media outlets. And two, I'm sure there were players in the NBA that were like, man, they're handing this kid everything right now, and we've been working our you-know-whats off to try to make this a great league. I'm sure there were players that thought the same thing about LeBron getting handed a lot of things that he got handed. He earned everything when it was all said and done, but I'm sure there had to have been players that sounded exactly like some of the players in the WNBA now. The difference is that you can hear what they're saying. I don't think we heard it.
You think?
Yeah. What, can you see that, what I'm saying? You don't have to agree. Can you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I can. But it just seemed like an awful lot of grief was given to both of these young ladies. And getting beat up a little bit on the floor.
Yeah.
There were some cheap shots on Angel Reese that just didn't, I mean, that shouldn't have happened. And there have been cheap shots on Caitlin Clark, and that shouldn't have happened.
Mm-hmm.
And their rivalry has been great for the league as well.
Right.
The Fever started the Indiana team with a record of 1-8. They lost 8 of their first 9 games, and everybody thought, ha, 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 look at them. They've gone 17-8 since, and probably on their way to the playoffs. Now, the Chicago Sky, which is Angel Reese's team, they're not very good. Mm-hmm. They're like 11-22. But here you go. The two gals who caught so much grief. Caitlin Clark is leading the WNBA in assists. She just had a triple-double last night. And Angel Reese is leading the WNBA in rebounding.
And Clark is probably the leading candidate for Rookie of the Year?
I would think so. Yeah. And Angel Reese is right there.
Yeah.
I'd make them co-rookies of the year. Go ahead. Angel Reese is averaging 13-13.
I mean,
That's pretty good.
Do you feel a Larry Bird, Magic Johnson kind of rivalry going on here?
Yeah, and guess what?
To work for the NBA.
These two ladies have put the WNBA in more of a national spotlight than it's ever been before.
Agree.
Good for them and to everybody in the league who just went out of their way to, now you're going to be dealing with professional women and blah, 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 blah. Okay, great. It's still a game, and it's stunning to me that there was as much animosity as there was when both of them came into the league about both of them. Caitlin Clark received, I think a little bit more than Angel Reese, but it's stunning to me. And congratulations to both of them for just playing hard, keeping their mouths shut, Andy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they didn't fight back and yell at
nothing. No, they've been, what, they're laughing all the way to the bank.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And good for them. I think that's absolutely outstanding.
So we're talking about this Charles Barkley, the TNT broadcaster. We all know
at
him
least for a year.
So well.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I think he signed a new contract that is at least going to fulfill his. So he was on the Bill Simmons podcast. This whole idea came up of Caitlin Clark and all that. And as we all know, Barkley has thoughts.
These ladies, and I'm a WNBA fan, they cannot have this Caitlin Clark thing up any worse if they tried. People believe what we say on television. Just because people don't like you or your personality, they can't get on TV and slander you. It's just total bullshit. This girl is incredible. The number of attention, eyeballs, she's brought to college and the pros. And for these women to have this petty jealousness, you say to yourself, damn, what is going on here? And the thing I love about her, she never says a word. But these ladies who I love and respect their game, they couldn't have f***ed this thing up any worse. There's been so much negativity, and a lot of it is just petty jealousness.
I would agree with that. I might be getting better now. I don't know, because they've both just come into the league and played really well. And it makes you think the WNBA is in a much better place moving forward because of Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark.
I don't think there's any question. There's no question. I go back to the beginning of kind of where they were with like Yeah, this is a conversation I might as well go in the corner and have by myself. But if the league would have been run by the ABL and the WNBA didn't get involved in this stuff, the way that they had started the league with the ABL when Columbus had their team, the Quest, women's basketball would have been in a much better spot. If it was the financial part of it that kind of got them in the end, and that they had pressure because it was the NBA that decided they wanted to start their own league. But if the ABL would have been able to set forth what they originally wanted to do, this league would have been bigger and better years ago.
You think so?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the money would have been there a little bit earlier, and we wouldn't be sitting here, you know, years after this league came into existence, now finally getting to a place where there is a little bit of equality there. If the ABL would have been able to accomplish what they wanted to accomplish in the beginning, this would have happened years ago.
I wonder if the buzz gets any bigger. I think it's diminished, actually.
It has. Yeah,
and,
I agree.
You know, with the whole thing. And football starting up was a part of that. Pennant races getting good, and baseball has been a part of that.
I think
they have playoffs coming up.
Yeah, when Caitlin didn't make the Olympic team, it didn't help anything.
I think that's absolutely
true. It helped her.
True.
I think she needed the rest.
You know, that's probably really true.
It helped her, but I don't know that it helped the league. And in some ways, it made you kind
of... Some of the people in charge of Team USA, I'm sorry. Look, and if she didn't make it, okay, that's fine. But probably, I think, looked silly from some of their comments. You know, I didn't think that was cool. And the folks...
It's almost like they didn't know she was coming, right? Yeah. It was like...
I'll bet she's on the next one.
I don't think she'll ever miss another one.
As long as she wants to play.
Yeah.
I give her, I give Angel Reese a ton of credit because they've just gone out and backed it up. And that's the best part. So much grief, so much smack talk, everything else. And even during games, Andy, there's been some stuff that just has been cheap, you know, cheap shots. And they've just both backed it up. So good for them.
See what happens.
It's very impressive. Do you think the sport has a huge growth aspect to it? I mean, could you see major expansion in the WNBA? I don't know if we will.
Yeah, I do. I think
Could it be a 24-team league? Could it double? You think
sure
it could?
Sure, could. Yeah, I don't see why not. I think that we're again, Jeff. Like television is an unbelievably desperate stage right now. You know this as well as I do. You know, we sit here on radio and on a platform now that started off as you know what. We grew up with like traditional television, and now we've become this staple of, you know what, if I'm in my car, I know I'm kind of listening to these folks that are talking. And there is a regularity and a level of comfort with the way you listen to radio right now. At least this is what I think. I think television is unbelievably uncomfortable. I think television kind of, you know, blew itself up. Because you can go anywhere now. Anyone can start their own TV channel right now. Let's be honest. And, you know, to be able to get people to follow you on 15-second clips has immersed what anything that the networks used to do. And the networks waited too long to kind of get ahead of the curve. But if there's one thing that television can still offer that no one else can, it's things that are happening live and especially television sports. And that's the play. Like, how often do you sit down and watch regular television? How often do you do it? Well, and you're going to answer that by saying, I do it when I know there's live sports on.
It's a 12-team league right now. And I just wonder, I would assume it expands some, maybe to 16.
It's about content. And I'm telling you, if they can provide the content.
I know.
And by the way, gambling has really influenced a lot of this stuff too.
Where I wonder this though.
If people want to spend ad dollars on it, they will.
Could you double the size of the league and do 24 teams? And still have the talent level sustainable.
It would just take time for the talent level. It's just like baseball when baseball expands. Do you think Major League Baseball is at a quality standard across the league now?
I think baseball when it expanded like crazy, like the AAA leagues used to be really good. Like the old Pacific Coast League was really, we're going way back here.
No,
I know, and I didn't see it, but I read
football?
About it.
Same thing with football too.
It was big time. And football, when you had the merger with the AFL, the talent level was pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't think football, if you expanded to 40 football teams, I don't think the talent level is sustainable. I don't.
It's for football, though, it's a matter of expanding the game, like globally. Again, I'll go back to the Olympics. Remember how, like, you didn't think twice about rooting for a team outside of the United States because maybe they play, like if Anderson Varejao was playing for Brazil, I'd be rooting for him, right?
Yeah.
Because he played for the Cavs. I didn't care. And like how we've changed since the original Dream Team in basketball and how basketball has changed our view of international basketball now compared to what it was.
We'll see. Bottom line, Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark, good for you guys. Mm-hmm. You backed it up. The season starts tonight. So to get it going, NFL rapid fire coming up next right here on Baskin and Phelps.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.